Hello, this is Scream Analysis, and today we're going to start off the month of October with one of my favorite scary stories. It's a true one from around 1978, and it takes place on the Isle of Wight. Sam, the Sandown Clown. Faye, or so we shall call her, was near Lake Common Sandown on a Tuesday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, with a boy about her own age, when they both heard a weird wailing noise, not unlike an ambulance siren. They followed it across the golf links and through a hedge, leading to a swampy meadow adjacent to the little-used Sandown Airport. The noise ceased. As they were crossing a wooden footbridge over a narrow brook, a blue-gloved hand appeared from under the bridge, and a strange figure emerged. The figure fumbled with a book, dropped it in the water, then splashed about to retrieve it. The two then watched the figure enter a metallic hut, similar to those used on building sites, except that it had no windows. It moved along with a strange hopping motion with knees raised high. The children wandered off, and were over 50 yards away when the figure, which from now on will be referred to as he, reappeared, carrying a black knobbed microphone with a white flex attached. The wailing noise immediately returned, this time being so loud that the boy was scared and began to run away. The noise ceased as he spoke into the microphone. And although so far off, the children could hear his voice as clearly as though he were right near them. "Hello? Are you still there?" he asked. And in response to what sounded a friendly tone, they ventured close enough to speak to the oddly attired person. He was nearly 7 feet tall and had no neck, for his head appeared to be wedged straight onto his shoulders. He wore a yellow pointed hat, which interlocked with the red collar of a green tunic. A round black knob was affixed to the top of his hat, and wooden antennae were attached to either side. The face had triangular markings for eyes, a brown square of a nose, and motionless yellow lips. Other round markings were on his paper-white cheeks, and a fringe of red hair fell onto his forehead. Wooden slats protruded from his sleeves and from below his white trousers. His first communication was in writing. He wrote in a notebook in a large hand, "Hello. And I am All Colors Sam." The boy was hesitant, but Faye read each word as it was pointed to. This was necessary, as the words were not laid out in conventional sequence. The children ventured closer and discovered that the creature could talk without the aid of a microphone, though his lips did not move and speech was unclear, rather like that of a person who does not open his mouth properly. He asked the children about themselves, so they ventured to ask questions too. They asked about his clothes, which were all ripped, and he told them he only had one set, so he could only wear those. Because of his strange white features, they asked if he was really a man. The answer was a chuckled no. They also asked if he was a ghost. The vague reply was, "Well, not really, but I am in an odd sort of way." "What are you then?" "You know." He also said he had no name. There were others like himself, though, and he drew a rough sketch of one. He also confided that he was frightened of people and scared they might hurt him. Apparently, if attacked, he would not fight back. At his invitation, the children crawled through a flap into his hut, which contained 2 levels. The lower had plenty of headroom and was wallpapered in blue-green and covered with a pattern of dials. It also had an electric heater and simple wooden furniture. The upper level was less spacious, and the floor was metallic. He told the children that he fed upon berries, which he collected in the late afternoon. He didn't say where, but did indicate that he had a camp on the mainland he could go to. He also said that the water from the river could be drunk once he'd cleaned it. Once inside the hut, he removed his hat to reveal round white ears and sparse brown hair. Before eating a berry, he performed an odd conjuring trick. He placed the berry in his ear, thrust his head forward, and caused the berry to disappear and reappear at one of his odd eyes. Repeating the process, the berry traveled to his mouth. The children talked to this strange being for half an hour or more. Then, after saying goodbye, they rushed across the golf links to tell the first man they met that they'd seen a ghost. He merely laughed, but the children were convinced of their experience. What a story. If you've watched this channel before, you know that I analyze memes, and today, of course, we're going to be analyzing a scream. So I thought I would tie this really fascinating, really deeply symbolic story back to some favorites, to Carl Jung and alchemy, and to astrology, where I think you will find some really interesting parallels. To start, let's just look at what a clown is. To do that, we have to look at astrology. We look to Sagittarius, which is to say we look to the rainbow, to the many-colored, to the motley. That is a symbol that recurs in Sagittarius, especially in tarot, as it relates to the Hebrew letter Samech and to the rainbow as the promise of God. It relates also directly to alchemy through that, in the Thoth tarot card Art. But let's go from there. Let's look at the many colors. Of course, we should be thinking about Joseph. You may have heard of Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat. That is a Sagittarian symbol. Now, what happens to the dream coat? What happens to Joseph? Joseph gets taken by his brothers, sold into slavery, but they take his coat, and to trick his father into thinking that he died, they cover it in goat's blood. That is the transition from Sagittarius to Capricorn, from clown to scary clown. So we're getting this transition of the symbol. You know, keep in mind, we want to get to the Sandown clown. We want to understand what are these symbols at play. Why is this phenomena occurring? And to do that, we do need to look at the evolution of these symbols. So Sagittarius becomes Capricorn, but then Capricorn becomes Aquarius, and that is where we find the Sandown clown. The Aquarian is the angelic. It is the humanoid, the alien. It's weird, fairy-like. And there, I think, the Sandown clown fits perfectly. He is taking from the Sagittarian clown archetype and elevating it into high strangeness, Aquarian high strangeness. He's using technology. He's using a microphone. He's got dials on his walls. That is very Aquarian. Now let's bring it back to alchemy, where we really get the depth of the motif of all colors, often directly all colors. In Jung's great, great book, Mysterium Conjunctionis, he talks about a patient's dream. The patient dreamt of being in a field, of seeing many animals, and the animals become terrified as their patron saint, the devil, appears. And his face turns all colors. what a strong image. In alchemical literature, you often see the stone, the philosopher's stone, described as transitioning through all the colors, as containing all the colors. The symbol of unity, you know, the color wheel is a very divine symbol, or the rosy cross on the back of a Thoth card. You get this image of a thing that contains all colors. For an alien, for a ghost, for some kind of entity to declare, I am all colors Sam. You might as well say, I am all colors Samak. I am all colors. I contain all things. It's like saying, I'm Christ. I'm God. So fascinating. So brilliantly fascinating. Also being that it takes place in the Isle of Wight. It's like a fairyland. A very common fairy spot in the literature. And finally, you know, we'll bring it to a an even more pseudoscientific place. We look to John Keel, the great paranormal researcher. He believed that there was a strong possibility that the phenomena itself existed above the spectrum of light, that their strange appearances and their ability to appear at will was due to their being beyond the visible light spectrum. Their manipulation of our visible light spectrum was how they were able to conjure appearances, UFOs, ships, monsters, all of that, was through a manipulation of the light. A very Platonic idea. So ultimately, we are given this great experience from, you know, these two little kids who have this kind of like alchemical, magical alien experience. Some might think this was undoubtedly some kind of a child molester who was just saying nonsense to get these kids to go into his hut in the woods. That may very well be true. But we do have to look at the potential that this was a spontaneous vision, and thus it contains a great deal of unconscious symbolic depth. As always, remember, screams matter.